Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 1996. Since that time, I've been serving the Lord full-time as an assistant pastor in youth and singles ministry.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I graduated from West Coast in 2006. Since that time, the Lord has allowed me to serve Him full-time, developing Sunday school curriculum, teaching senior high girls, and serving in Christian radio.
Hi, I'm Larry. I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. God has given me the great privilege to be a youth pastor and also to serve in the media and internet ministry through my local church. I'm thankful for the excellent training I received at West Coast Baptist College.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Thank you for your prayers and support for the students and vision of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about West Coast or to share in the vision, visit us at wcbc.edu.
It's been said, don't doubt in the night what God gave you in the light. During times of uncertainty and fear and trouble, we often doubt and make wrong decisions. But next on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell will challenge you to come back to a strong foundation by reminding you of things to remember. The song says it so well, we are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. How often we are tempted to despair or discouragement and to making the wrong decision. In the Christian life, we're on a journey. The journey sometimes contains twists and turns in the path, times of doubt and fear that cause us to get shaky and skittish like a sheep, and we need a shepherd. It's our shepherd that calls us back to His Word to remind us of the foundational truths of our lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This Monday through Friday radio program comes to you and features the teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell today is teaching a series entitled Things to Remember, reminding us of the foundational truths of our spiritual lives. Before we join the message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. When you visit us on the website, be sure to click on the Contact Us tab and send us an email and let us know that our program is touching your life. We have a gift for you this month when you call or write to us or contact us. It's the mini book, Done, a very clear presentation of the gospel that you can pass along to a friend. To receive this, simply give us a call or visit the website at dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to remember His great faithfulness in our lives. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. Here's Paul Chappell.
Perhaps you heard the story about the fella that went to the local tavern, and he was kind of a rambunctious fella, and he began to drink one drink and then another drink, and he got a little more rambunctious as the night went on, and finally he had so much alcohol that he passed out and toppled over right there on the floor. Well, his friends were sick and tired of the way he had acted, and so they gathered up some Limburger cheese, and they took that cheese and they wound it as hard as they could into his mustache. They just plastered that mustache with Limburger cheese, and after a while, when that fellow woke up, he stood up and he took a smell. He said, "This place stinks." He went to his house, he walked in, he said to his wife, "This place stinks." He went to work the next day. He said, "This place stinks." He walked outside after work. He took a smell. He said, "This whole world stinks." Of course, after a while, he realized the problem was right under his own nose. You ever meet somebody like that? I mean, maybe even a Christian. And they'll have something go wrong in their life, and they kind of start taking this attitude that the whole world stinks. I mean, their family stinks, their friends stink, their workplace stinks. I meet Christians, they're acting that way about church. Everything about church stinks, and everything about this stinks. And pretty soon, the whole world stinks, and what they don't realize is the problem is really just right under their nose, a little lower down to their heart sometimes. The whole world stinks. You know, if you are a born-again Christian today, the truth of the matter is that even when a few things are going wrong, you have a lot to be thankful for. That's what we're remembering this summer, is that despite some of the trials that beset us, we have a faithful God. And in the last few weeks, we've been learning about His faithfulness. We have been challenged to remember our first love and to stay in love with Jesus Christ. We've been challenged to remember our biblical foundations as a church and as a country. We've been reminded of God's purpose for trials. And this morning from the prophet Jeremiah, we learn about the faithfulness of God. And I want to challenge you this morning to remember that no matter what is going on in the world, that we serve a faithful God. Psalm 105 and verse 5, the psalmist said, "Remember His marvelous works that He hath done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth." Psalm 77:11, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of all Thy doings." Now, when someone is walking around saying, "This stinks, that stinks, the whole world stinks," it's usually a testimony to the fact they haven't been spending any time remembering the wonderful works of God. Because when we open the Bible and we're reminded of God's wonderful faithfulness, all of a sudden, things start smelling a little bit better. All of a sudden, God's precious faithfulness to us becomes something that is more prominent in our hearts. Well, I want to speak to you about that this morning. I want to speak to you about how to remember God's faithfulness. And I want to show you three areas where God is always faithful, no matter what's going wrong in our life. Notice in your outline, first of all, He is faithful to forget. God is faithful to forget. Someone says, "You mean God forgets stuff?" No. God knows all things, but there are some things God has chosen to forget. And the Bible says in verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." And in your notes, I want you to notice in Hebrews 8:12, a very important verse in order to understand this principle that God is faithful to forget. Notice what it says. It says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Now, how many of you are glad that once you have the blood of Christ applied to your account, once you accept Jesus as your Savior, God says, "I'm not going to remember your iniquities anymore"? How many of you are glad for that? He says, "I'm going to be faithful to forget." I had a man say to me one time, he said, "You know, every time it gets a little tense around my house, every time there's a little stress around our house, my wife goes historical." I said, "Do you mean hysterical?" He said, "No, I mean historical. She brings up every bad thing I have ever done." Now, how many of you are glad that God's not like that? God's not always bringing up the bad stuff that we've done. He is merciful. He is faithful to forgive us. And He is faithful, according to this verse, to forget those sins that have been committed. Now, let me show you two things about His faithful mercy. First of all, it is by His mercy that we are sustained. It is by His mercy that we are sustained. You know, it's not that we are self-made men. It's that God has blessed us. And notice what it says in verse 22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not." Now, God says, the fact that you are still here is a tribute to My mercy. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Now, if you're taking notes this morning, what does the word mercy really mean? When God says, "I'm going to be merciful to you," very simple definition. Mercy is withholding punishment or something bad from someone who deserves it. Pretty simple. Now, God says, "You deserve some things that I'm not going to give to you because I have chosen to forget your sin based upon the blood of Jesus Christ." Something that is deserving, but you're not going to receive it. My friend, listen very carefully. If I got what I deserve, I would get a one-way ticket straight to hell. Because the wages of sin is death. My wage, my deserving payment is not heaven. My deserving payment is separation from God. But by His grace and mercy, He has saved me. Now the psalmist said it this way in Psalm 86:15, "But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." Psalm 30 and verse 5, "For His anger endureth but a moment, in His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And then the Bible says in Psalm 106 and verse 44, "Nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry, and He remembered for them His covenant and repented according to the multitude of His mercies." In other words, God says time and again, "I could have judged Israel, but time and again, I was merciful for them." And just as He was merciful for them, God has been merciful for us. I heard about a mother who approached Napoleon, and she was seeking a pardon for her son. And the emperor replied that the young man had committed offenses that demanded his death. In fact, Napoleon said, "Justice demands the death of your son." Well, the mother said, "But sir, I did not ask you for justice. I asked you for mercy." And again, Napoleon said, "Your son does not deserve mercy." And she said, "But sir, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. I'm asking you for mercy." Well, then the emperor said, "I will have mercy." And he spared the woman's son. Did you catch the little phrase the woman said? It would not be mercy if he deserved it. My friend, it's not grace. It's not mercy if I deserve it. That's the great thing about God's faithful mercy. You don't deserve it and I don't deserve it, but God in His faithfulness gives it anyways. Great is Thy faithfulness. We are sustained by God's mercy. My friend, how many of you recognize today it's by His mercy that we're sitting here right now? We're breathing, we're sitting here, and what a blessing that God is so faithful to us. Notice, secondly, it's by His mercy that we are supplied. We are supplied. Now, notice something in verse 23, very simple, but very profound. Verse 23, "They are new every morning." God's mercies are new every morning. How many of you have been saved, let's say, 25 years? Let me see your hands. All right. Some of you have been saved 25 years or more. Some of you have been saved 25 days, and that's awesome. But I want to tell you something this morning. For those of you that have been saved a long, long time, God didn't just have enough mercy to save you and help you in the early years. He says, "I've got mercy for you every single day of your life." And some of us would say, "And I need more as I go along. I need God's mercy and God's grace." It says, "His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." Now, I'm thankful that His mercy supplies our every need. The Bible says in Philippians 4:19, as Paul the Apostle wrote, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I want you to know that every church that supports missionaries and every Christian that's involved in this matter of giving can claim that verse. My God will supply all of my need. I don't have to worry all the time. God's going to be merciful to me. He's going to meet my every need. The psalmist said it this way. Psalm 37 is in your notes, verse 25. He said, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." Now think about that if you would. The psalmist said, "I have been young, and now I am old." How many of you say, "That's my life's verse right there"? I understand that. "I have been young, and now I am old." But he says, "But I have not seen the righteous forsaken. I have not seen his seed begging for bread." Now I want to tell you something. That's a great tribute to the mercy of God. And you might say, "Well, I've seen some men that turned their back on God, and they chose the bottle, and they chose methamphetamine, and they chose this, and they chose that, and I've seen them begging for bread." But my friend, you'll not see the children of God begging for bread, because His mercy fadeth not away. God's faithful to provide. He provides strength for us. Hebrews 4:16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So God says, no matter where you're at in life, No matter what your need is, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, great is my faithfulness. I'm going to be merciful to you. I'm so glad that God is merciful in forgetting my sin and loving me anyways and caring for my soul. I heard a story that kind of illustrates this. It's not really biblical, but it illustrates the point. Heard about three women that died and they went to heaven and they were standing outside the pearly gates waiting their turn to see St. Peter. I don't know why all these stories have St. Peter in them. They must be from Catholics or something. I'm not sure, but that's not how it's going to work, okay? And they're standing there at the pearly gates to see St. Peter, and Peter comes up to them, and after a long time, he'd been delayed, and he came to a lady, the first lady. He said, "I want to apologize for the delay." He said, "I've been really busy." And said, I'm here and I want to help you. And the lady said, "Oh, no problem. No problem, Peter." She said, "I'm just thrilled to be here." And so he said, "All right, well, let's process the paperwork." He said, "Now I have just one question for you before you enter in." He said, "How do you spell God?" And she smiled. She said, "G-O-D. He said, "Wonderful. Enter into the presence of God." She came right in. Well, he came up to the next lady and he said again, he said, "Listen, I'm so sorry. I know you've been waiting for me, but I just wanted to come and take care of this now." She said, "Oh, no problem." She said, "I'd wait 1,000 years to see my Savior. Not a problem." Peter said, "I like that attitude." He said, "Now, just one little question for you. Can you spell the word God?" She said, "Oh, yes, I can. G-O-D. He said, "Fine, come right on in." He came up to the next lady. He said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry that I kept you waiting." She said, "You should be." She said, "I've had to wait my whole life. I've had to wait at Albertsons. I've had to wait at Walmart. I've had to wait on my children's school teachers." And she said, "Now of all places, I'm here and I have to wait on you." Peter said, "Well, I apologize." I said, "Ma'am, if you can just answer one question for me, you can come right on in through the pearly gates." He said, "Now, ma'am, how do you spell Czechoslovakia?" Now, how many of you are glad you don't have to do anything except trust Christ as your Savior to have your sins forgiven? And it's not a different thing for everybody. Neither is there salvation given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. There's none other name, the Bible says. It's the name Jesus for everybody if we're going to be saved. And so he is faithful to forget. Peter may not forget. Your wife may not forget. Your husband may not forget. Your boss may not forget. But God says your sin is as far as the east is from the west. I am faithful to forget and to forgive. So he's faithful to forget. Now I want you to see the second aspect of God's faithfulness this morning. That is, he is faithful to feed us. God is faithful to feed us. You know, the Bible says that when you get saved, it's being born again. That means that when you get saved, we are newborn babes in Christ. We need to be fed in order to grow. I remember when our son Larry was born, he had some type of a virus and he wasn't gaining weight and he was sick in the hospital those first few weeks, and our hearts were heavy and we spent night after night in the hospital and we were worried. Why? Because it's normal for a little guy to start gaining some weight, to start growing and to be healthy. And God says, "I want my children to be fed." That's what the book of Lamentations is. It's God through Jeremiah feeding the children of Israel. Notice in your notes there, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word," what does the next 5 words say? "That ye may grow thereby." That ye may grow thereby. Now God says, "I want you to lay aside the wrong things so that you can take in the Word of God, so that through the Word you will grow." I remember years ago, we went home on a Sunday afternoon. My wife had created the greatest meal. I'm talking about roast beef and potatoes and gravy and corn and carrots. I'm talking about homemade bread. I'm talking about butter and honey. I'm talking about, wipe the drool off your face, some of you right now, while I'm talking about it. It was a great meal. We walked in, man, it smelled good. I couldn't wait to sit down and eat it. We sat around that table. One of our daughters, however, sat around the table. Her name I will not mention. I do not want her to sue me after services today. We sat down and she was there, and we began to dish up the food. She would not touch her food. I mean, she wouldn't take potatoes, meat, nothing. After a while, I thought, what in the world is wrong here? Went upstairs to her bedroom. I noticed on her bed, not a small package, but a large package of M&Ms, now empty. And it began to dawn on me. She didn't want the good stuff because she'd been eating the junk stuff. And sometimes Christians don't care about the Bible because they're too busy on the things of the world, taking in the things of the world, so they don't have an appetite for what God has to say. So look at that verse again, 1 Peter 2:1. It says, lay aside malice and guile, which is a form of hatred and hypocrisy and envy and evil speakings. In other words, if your life is filled with sin, you don't want the Bible. But when you lay those things aside, then God says, now I can feed you, you see. And that's why as Christians, we've got to take time to turn off the boob tube. And we've got to take time to put aside some other things so that we can open the Bible and get fed each and every day. Now, what does the Bible do? I want to tell you three things the Bible does for us. If you're taking notes, the first thing is this. His Word nourishes us. His Word nourishes us. Jeremiah said it this way in Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. You see, Jeremiah said, when I found your words, Lord, I literally consumed them spiritually. They nourished me. They kept me strong. My wife said to me a few years ago, and just in talking as we drove in the car, she said, you know, honey, sometimes the problem is that people are just not spiritual. Meaning by that, no taking in of the Bible, no praying, no spiritual nourishment. And we would never think of taking a little tiny baby and saying, okay, you don't need your vitamins, you don't need a bottle, you don't need all of the baby food. What you need is just here, have a Snicker bar. Now, I know some of you are saying, Pastor, don't preach against Snicker bars. But I'm telling you, we'd never do that with a little baby. Why? Soon problems would develop in their body. And God says you're not going to make it in the Christian life on a junk diet. Look, you need more than just a little positive thinking memo periodically. We need to get into the Word of God. God's Word nourishes. Secondly, God's Word furnishes us. You know, you have challenges tomorrow, and I have challenges tomorrow at work and with our family and with our children. And God's Word gives us the answers that we need. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration means it's God-breathed. And it says it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now watch this, verse 17. That the man of God may be perfect, which means mature. And then notice this phrase, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God says, whatever your challenge, I want to furnish you. I want to equip you. There'll be a question at work tomorrow. There'll be a challenge that you'll have. And if you'll read the Bible, and I am amazed, I'll read sometimes just a proverb a day. And I'm amazed at how what I read that morning applies to what I face that day. And it is God through His Word furnishing me and helping me so that I might lead in the way He wants me to go.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word. And this message has been brought by Pastor Paul Chappell in a series, Things to Remember, challenging us to come back to the foundational truths of our lives. If we can help you understand what it means to trust Christ, to build your life on a foundation and a relationship with Him, please give us a call or contact us here at Daily in the Word. I'll give you that information in just a moment. If you'd like this message or this entire series, Things to Remember, it is available on our website, dailyintheword.org, or you can call or write to us. We'd love to send it to you on audio CD or MP3 CD. Again, it's the series, Things to Remember. We sure enjoy hearing from you as a listener, knowing that Daily in the Word is touching your life on a daily basis. This month, our gift to you when you call or write to us is the mini book, Done, What Most Religions Don't Tell You About the Bible. This book, Done, is a paperback 112-page presentation of the gospel. It will do two things. It will help you as a Christian understand how to better share your faith, but more importantly, it would be a great resource to pass along to someone that you're hoping will come to Christ. If you know someone, a relative, a coworker, a neighbor, who hasn't come to Christ and you've tried to share the gospel with them, this is a great way to pass the gospel along to them and encourage them to read this book. We receive emails every week of people all across the country that have trusted Christ as a result of Done, what most religions don't tell you about the Bible. This is our gift to you this month when you call or write to us at Daily in the Word. You can call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. And finally, you can send a letter to 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Be sure to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And until next time, have a great day.